Praise the Lord, family. Welcome to another Gift of Life show. Hey, I'm going to jump right into this. This is coming from Psalms 91. You can get more information at www.lovebyexample.com, but I'm dedicating this to a very, very, very special person close to my heart, and she knows who she is. But I'm coming from Psalms 91. Let me just read. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. Now, let me just say this right off. Remember, Messiah uses pictures, words, to give us a handle on these spiritual, invisible, powerful identities of his nature and his word and his love. So the secret place isn't necessarily talking about like a secret place where nobody else knows where you're at, but it's like a place. Remember when we were kids and we played hide and seek and you'd find your place where you would hide and hopefully nobody could seek and find you, and or if you just had a particular seeking or a particular hiding place, you just felt safe and warm and snuggly, and you just felt like you were safe from all the outside interferences. Well, this is a word picture about hiding in the secret places of the Most High. Now, let me just explain what that means a little bit as I go through my notes, but I want you to know it's from spirit to spirit. So again, it goes back to that first P in my book, Position, Power, Performance, and Presence. You must be born again. And by being born again, you get a brand new spirit, and then your spirit bears witness with his spirit, because God, Yah, Abba, is a spirit, John 4:24, and those who worship or relate to him have to relate to him from spirit to spirit. That's the way it works. Because apart being spiritual and being connected to the spirit and understanding the spiritual things of God, apart from that, you won't get it. Because the natural man, the humanness, and our own reasoning, we can't comprehend that. That's why we have to be born again and get a brand new spirit, because sin and Satan tainted us and separated us from those spiritual things. So I just want to make sure you understand the secret place is talking about your new position that you have as a born again believer, the righteousness, the imputed righteousness of God in Christ, bringing his love to us. Isn't that beautiful? So depending on your Bible translations, like I said, the secret place can appear. It does. It appears in dozens of places in the Old and the New Testament. Some translations say the shelter, the covering, the dwelling, rather than the secret place. But the secret place, the term, comes from a root word, center, which means to hide or be concealed. The word in Psalms 139:15 says, my frames was not hidden from you when I was made in a secret place. And here it speaks of the hidden world of the mother's womb. Isn't that something? The hidden places in the mother's womb where a child develops. But the word is also used in Psalms 32:7. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. Isn't that beautiful? Hallelujah. I just love this. And so according to although secret places can refer to a physical location, it is most often a place of your spirit or your soul. It's a mental attitude in the spiritual realm and your relationship with Almighty. Isn't that beautiful? Psalms 27:5 says, for in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in the tabernacle, in the secret places of his tent, and then he will hide me. He will lift me up upon the rock. Isn't that beautiful? Now, the psalmist David here, he's not referring to an actual tabernacle or tent in which he can be hidden from all physical things and his enemies. He's speaking of the state of mind, the state of peace, the state of joy that gives you that relationship with Abba Yah, that gives you that relationship with God in the midst of trials and attacks. So it's not like an absent from trials that you're going to have this secret place. It really is in the midst of it. And also, too, without it. But you'll always be in that inner. You have this inner relationship. Not churchy stuff. Not religious stuff. But an inner relationship from spirit to spirit that you will worship and relate to the Almighty. Hallelujah. The secret place originates with Abba, with God. Because he is the creator and he is a spirit. And his glory is beyond our, like I said earlier, beyond our natural perception. We must meet him in the secret places in our heart. Now, heart is another word for your thought life. In your soul, where you think, feel and choose. And the Holy Spirit should be directing your thoughts and your emotions and the decisions that you make. So it's a spiritual thing. It's not a physical thing, just in your brain and your own intellect and your own philosophies, your own ideas, and your human achievement. It's not that. This is a divine accomplishment that Abba Yah gives us when we receive His Son as our Lord and Savior. Isn't that beautiful? And also, too, let's see, Psalms 91 now. It gives us the best illustration of the value of the secret place. Let me read the first verse again. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Think of the secret place, like I said earlier, as a hiding place. When we were children, we can imagine, like when we were 10 years old or something, and we would find a secret hiding place underneath a maybe the stairs in the basement or in a closet or just someplace where it's quiet. No one knew where you were. You felt very safe and protected. And it was your place, your moment. Well, this is the picture that the psalmist wants to paint for us right here, has painted, that God wants us to have this secret hiding place. And He invites each and every one of us to join Him there. He doesn't want us to visit there now. Notice that doesn't say who visits in the secret place. He's saying abide or dwell or live there. It's like this is your permanent address. Psalms 91 is where you live at as a born-again believer. Isn't that beautiful? And so you have to join Abba Yah. You have to join God. You have to join the Almighty in the secret places. And unless you're willing, see, it's a choice now, unless you're willing to be transparent and honest and open and spend that time in that hiding place, in that room that you've selected, which you should have a place that you're able to come to that secret place where it's quiet and it doesn't have distractions and it's a place that you can get all by yourself. You need to be able to have that place, a designated place that's like I'm in my place right now. I call it my little cubby hole or my little my little cave. You know, it's my place, but it's my secret place where I can close the door no matter if anybody's out there, and I can come in here and commune with my Father. Abba, hallelujah. So there's great benefits from dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, but you have to choose to leave a lot of stuff behind. You got to leave a lot of the worldly delights. You got to learn to detox and renew your mind to stay and maintain in that secret place. It's a lifestyle. It's not just a one-time choice. Your position changes when you receive His love, but the maintenance and the performance has to be where you are renewing and detoxing the remaining selfish memories of the past. You have to detox those, cast those thoughts down to continue to stay in the secret place. And it's so beautiful. God tells us to draw near to Him, John 4:8. And when we resist the devil, we draw near to Him. We can resist the devil's lies and toxic thoughts that he sends our way. And you'll begin to see yourself in a whole new way. That's what our women's conference is all about. We call it CUBU. So people can begin to see what Abba says about your sins, that are forgiven and as far as the east and the west, and that He doesn't judge you or condemn you about your sins, but He wants to love you. Then you'll begin to see what He's delivered you from. That's what Romans chapter 6, if you read verses, I was telling a friend today, if you read verses 20 and 21, you'll see what you've been delivered from and how you are in bondage to sin and Satan. But then in 22 and 23 says that, but you're not a slave to sin. You've been delivered. You're a slave to God. And now you have your fruits to holiness and the end of everlasting life. But the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Isn't that beautiful? So it's a choice. And you have to understand that there's a responsibility for that choice to continue to develop that relationship in a secret place. The key to moving in this place, in this secret place, is total surrender to the second P, the power of the Holy Spirit and the will of the Lord. The word of God and the Holy Spirit. That's our second P in my four Ps. Position, power. Then you'll perform from that position in His power through your gifting, because your gifting is in that power. And then you're going to stay in a presence. You'll stay in a presence. That's the fourth P of the secret place. And your commitment, your choice, has to be a continual surrender, to fully surrender to Him. And He will encourage you. He will show you and confirm to you. And so the scriptures say that your spirit bears witness with his spirit that you are a child of the Most High. And that encourages you to remain. And your choices to fully surrender to him will result in the power. You'll experience his power. You'll be able to do things exceedingly abundantly above all that you're able to ask or think. And you'll begin to bear fruits to holiness. You'll see fruits coming from your life. That means people will be drawn to you because they're going to want to learn from you, because that's what the Word of God does. 2 Timothy 3:16, that the Word of God is inspired, is God-breathed, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instruction, and so that the person of Abba, the person of God, can be fully equipped for every good work. Isn't that beautiful? So you need to learn to spend time in the secret place of the Most High. Now, let me just camp on a couple of verses in here. I want to show you something. With the Word of God, I believe you got to show the contrast. I want to show you how the Word of God are in this particular passage here. If you go to Matthew 4, most of us know about the temptation with the Messiah in the wilderness. But look at this. Look at how sneaky the enemy is. If you look in verse of Psalms, well, go to Matthew 4. I'll wait for you. I think I will. Go to Matthew 4 and then look, put your finger in Psalms 91. But look at right here in verse 12. It says in Psalms 91, in their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Now this is talking about the Messiah, but we still have those principles operative in us if we believe them. He says, you shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Notice this. And verse 11 says, for he shall give his angels charge over you. Then 12 says, in their hands they shall bear you up. But look at this. If you go to Matthew 4, and this story is also told in Luke 4 and also Mark 1, but we're going to look here in Matthew 4. When the enemy was tempting the Messiah, the second temptation here in Matthew 4, he quotes the verse. But look what he does. He says in the second temptation, since he couldn't get him to eat bread and turn the stones into bread, he said, then the devil took him, this is verse 5 in Matthew 4, then the devil took him into the holy place, set him on the pinnacles of the temple. Okay, now I don't know how he got there, but he got there, and said to him, this is the enemy talking to the Lord, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. So here you have the enemy, our arch enemy, Abba's arch enemy, quoting scriptures. All right? And remember, we saw that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Don't be amazed when his emissaries can quote the same verses too. Can quote scriptures. So the enemy can quote scriptures, and so can his servants and his preachers and his pastors. So be careful who you're listening to. Line yourself up with what the Word says. So you need to know what the Word says for yourself. Don't just let anybody teach you anything. Let them teach you from the Word, and then you look at the Word and make sure what they're teaching you is what the Word says, okay? And that they're living it, okay? And that they're living it. So here it says, he shall give his angels charge over you. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You see that? The devil quotes to the Messiah, the Son of God, Psalms 91, 11 and 12. But look what he didn't say. He stopped at verse 13. Look what 13 says. You shall tread upon the lions and the cobra, the young lions and the serpent you shall trample under feet. My question is, why didn't he quote 13? Mm-hmm. You get me? You feel me? He didn't quote it because he knew it, and he knew that if he did, he would be telling the Messiah to crush me right now. He's not going to do that. Isn't that something? I just think that's amazing. See, the enemy is, I'm telling you, when the enemy speaks, all you got to do is go back to Genesis and look at our first parents. And the enemy spoke to Adam and Eve. They chose to believe the enemy instead of our Creator. And you see what happens. Okay? And then they said, I heard your voice, but we hid, and then we were fearful. Or we heard, and we were fearful, and we hid. So there they heard the voice, they thought about it, they felt it, Okay, they were fearful and then they acted on, they hid. So it starts right back there, but it started with the word, with the voices. Remember I've said, everything we think and say and do begins with a thought. Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And Proverbs 18, death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love will eat its fruit. And James 3 talks about the power of the tongue, which is a picture of the words rolling off our tongue. And words have to come from thought. So the bottom line is, Deuteronomy 30:19, God says, I've given you life, death, blessings, or cursing. Choose life so you and your descendants can live. It's all about how you're thinking. And the enemy knew, he was stupid, but he knew that this verse, he was challenging the Messiah, but he didn't quote verse 13 because he knew that would condemn him right then and there. That's just what I think. Okay, I just thought that was kind of interesting. So bottom line, how do we fight? We use it is written. We use it is written. And also too, in this chapter, if you notice, I don't know if you've seen this, but the first temptation, which was a test, see, it's always a test from the Lord, but it turns into a temptation when you've been solicited to do evil. That's the difference, and that's in James 2 and James chapter 1. But the first test that he had, because Jesus was led in the wilderness by the Spirit, okay? So the first test that he had that stayed a test, it didn't fall into temptation, was Satan was tempting him in his position. Because he says, if you are the Son of God. Okay? So he's like, are you really all that? And then the second one was about his power. He says, okay, you're so powerful, then jump off this pinnacle. And I'm sure that he will take his hand and bear you up, and he won't let your foot dash against the stone. Right? So he wanted to do it, and then he couldn't get him on that, so he began to attack his performance. He goes, okay, he says, look, I'll take you to another exceedingly high mountain, and I'll show you all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, looky here, I'll show you all these worlds and all their glories. And he said to him, if you bow down to me, perform your allegiance to me, and I will give you all these things. You see what the Messiah said? Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only will you serve. See, Jesus was in the spiritual realm. He was led by the Spirit. He was relating to the enemy from the Spirit, and he was relating to his Abba from the Spirit. So, brothers and sisters, I just wanted you to see this. Psalms 91 is powerful. Our baby girl and I have been working on this, and and the more I keep reading it, I just get excited. So I just felt led to just do a brief study on the Psalms of 91. But I wanted you to understand that it's the secret place. And I have that in my book where I talk about how we are triune beings. In my new book, Do You See What I See? That we're triune beings and that we're spirit, soul, and body. But the way that we have to relate to the Lord, the way we have to relate to our Abba is through our spirit. Let me read that Romans 8:16 to you right here. Romans 8:16 says this. Powerful book. Hey, you know, I challenge you to memorize Romans 6, 7, and 8. Powerful, powerful. I challenge you to memorize Ephesians. The first prayer in Ephesians, powerful, about your eyes being opened up to see who you really are in Christ. And then the second prayer in Ephesians chapter 3, 14 through 20. 20:21 talks about the power. That's the second P. And then the third P, your performance by putting on in Ephesians 6, the armor of Abba. See, it's a spiritual battle. It's not a physical war. It trickles down into the physical realm, of course, but it starts in the spiritual realm, just like it did back in the garden. Remember Cain and Abel? When Abba came to Cain, he says, hey, why are you angry? See, in the heart. Why are you thinking these angry thoughts? I mean, it's so bad, it's showing on your countenance. And God said that. He says, your countenance has fallen. And he says, oh, I know. Look at here. If you choose to do well, do what I tell you to do, it's going to be all right with you, okay? But if you choose not to do well, he says, sin. Now remember, sin is disobedience, lawlessness. And the enemy, Satan, is the chief enemy of lawlessness. When he speaks lawlessness. 1 John 3:4. And he says, he speaks lawlessness. So, but Abba says, sin is desiring to have you, to chew you up like a wild animal if you choose not to do what I tell you to do. That's so here you have the first emotion triggered by a lie in Genesis 3, which is fear. And the second one, which was triggered by a lie in Genesis 4, which is anger. So you got it there. Anger and fear are major emotions that come from toxic thoughts that the enemy uses. So if you're living in fear, or if you have bitterness, or if you're angry, or if you're timid, or if you got anxiety attacks, or if you're discouraged, in Hebrews chapter 12, 15, it says, a root of bitterness will spring up and cause you trouble. Hey, wax that thing off with the Word of God. Renew your mind, Romans 12, 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 5, cast those thoughts down. Pull them up. It's just a matter of you choosing. That's all it is, to believe what Abba says or what the enemy says. Remember in the garden, Abba said, hey, all these trees you can eat from. But that one over there, don't touch that one. The enemy wants you to touch that one that Abba said don't eat from. Don't do that. If you're a born-again believer, start eating for the tree of life. Go into your Psalms 91 and experience what it means to be in the secret place of the Most High, in the spiritual realm. Hallelujah. In Romans 8, right here, 16, I haven't forgotten. It says, the Spirit Himself, that's talking about the Holy Spirit, the Ruach, bears witness with our spirit, our human spirit that's been born again. Hallelujah, that we are children of Abba. And I love this verse right here. Look at this one. It says right above it, 15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. No, but you received, when you were born again, the spirit of adoption. I was adopted by my grandma. Everything that she had, I inherited. Even when she passed and went to glory, I inherited part of her home. Isn't that something? The spirit of adoption, by where we cry out, Abba, Father. So, brothers and sisters, if you claim to be a believer, if you claim to love Abba, if you claim to love Yeshua, HaMashiach, if you claim to cling to Him and who He is as your Savior and Lord and Master, well, then all this is yours. But you have to understand your position in Him to experience the benefits with Him. That's just the way it is. We can't receive these things from the Word of God. We can't receive them from our natural realm. That's what it says. See if I can find that real quick. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter, let me find it real quick. Right here, 1 Corinthians, it says, 2 Corinthians, yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, okay, nor has entered the heart of man the things which have been prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of Abba. Isn't that beautiful? Wow. For what man knows the things of the man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Abba, Yah, hallelujah. That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by Him. That is it. I'm going to close now. Hey, if you've been born again, all that's yours. If you haven't, check. Hey, check it out. Make sure, because that's what's going to get you to glory. That's what makes you acceptable. His righteousness in you, not yours, but His divine righteousness. I love you and God bless you. And stay in the secret places of the Most High. Dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Abide under the shadow of His wings. God bless you. Yeah.
If you've been a born again, you are show some signs. If you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, Came around my